upstairs.
You have to play Pug!
Battle Royale!
Oh no! Oh. So yeah, it's a last man standing. There's Caddix. And 5 infant more. And then, of course, we come to the epic gladiator arena.
The main card event!
And then QB is going to pretend to be dead until we get to the ship.
The sound of someone exploring the sides of the bottom of the biggest milkshake in the world.
Are you drinking?
Oh. Yes!
Amazing.
So, Caddix, we'll start
I've gotta go.
With my questions as per usual.
Yep.
Starting off with
I just look out the screen
your home
the,
world or place of birth or origin, as early as Caddix can remember.
Yeah. He was born and raised on the trade ship the Southpaw. Mm-hmm. It's standard trade ship that would go from planet to planet trading different...
Babies?
Yes, trading babies. No, trading different resources, different textiles. Pretty much whatever clients wanted to be traded. Baby. So you would pick up contracts to transport things as well. And generally in the trade business, like Hakans do.
Mm. Galactic Core only, or did you also go into the Mohawk sector and things like that?
Pretty much everywhere.
Wherever the job was?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, what's the next question? Right, 3 people that are important to Caddix's history, both positive and or negative.
Okay, this one's a little bit fuzzy because it's one person slash people connected to that person as well, based off of his backstory. The first person is Caddix's father.
Okay.
And in conjunction to that is the crew of the Southpaw as well.
Yes, of course.
The reason being is he was brought up and raised by his father. He never knew his mother. Most likely Hakan, since, well, Caddix is Hakan. But he was raised by his father on the Southpaw, and the crew of that ship was his family.
Right. Yes.
He knew them from the very second he opened his eyes, and yes. He had, like, the... like the brothers and sisters and different age ranges as
then
well
became
as...
became his surrogate aunts and uncles and so on.
Something like that, right. Yeah. So Caddix's father takes front row and center because he was the direct influence in Caddix becoming what he is today.
Right.
In being a captain, being a traitor, kind of being the silver tongue sort of idea because he was... raised from the moment he could start walking and shouting out commands to follow in his father's footsteps.
Okay.
Did he always have a gritty voice as a baby, or is this part of the...
Oh yeah, he was born like this. Yeah. He was born with a bandana over his head.
That's me crying.
Yep.
Anyways, Waltz is on the list for Caddix.
He was walking around the shift as a baby.
Yeah, basically he was groomed from a very young age by his father to become his father, to take over his footsteps, and mm-hmm. he absolutely reveled in it.
Did he love his adoptive ship family?
Oh yes. They were extremely close to him. That's why in conjunction with his father is the rest of the crew, because this is the family he grew up with. This is the people he knew from the minute he opened his eyes.
They really were a family.
Did you say the mother wasn't part of the picture?
He didn't know his mom.
So did she, like, die in childbirth, or would, however he explains it to himself?
Father never explained it.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe some touch-and-go moments there. I don't know. Maybe jeez. Maybe some hooker he hooked up with.
Hot.
Yeah.
Maybe they just appear on ships.
Maybe it was.
They stopped the trade places.
Maybe it was somebody that he loved that died. Who knows? His
maybe
father...
he loved a hooker.
But Caddix certainly doesn't have any memory of it, anyways. Yeah. So if she did die in childbirth, he would know. Yeah.
And well, you'd think he was never filled in.
But if it was a subject of pain for the father, then he wouldn't have wanted to mention it.
Maybe.
Yeah. So when also with the father figure, when Caddix was around about 20, that's when his father died. And then he kind of took on the mantle of the captain of the Southpaw. Everybody kind of accepted that. It's like, hey, you're your dad's son. Wow, you're even better than your dad's son with a better voice. And yeah, so they fully accepted this as the status quo. The second person, of course, is Lyra.
Yes.
You've seen this drawn hastily on a wall with a whole bunch of strings around it. You've heard this mentioned possibly once or twice. The reason why she is so important is because, number one, she is the love of his life. Number two is she played a pivotal role in rescuing Caddix from the incident that happened in his past. She was instrumental, along with her mother, in bringing him back from death, basically, and raising him and kind of bringing him back to life, to the sensibility of you're still alive, now you gotta live it type of idea. Over the course of about 10 years, they developed a relationship, first a friendship, and became close partners in trying to figure out how to fix Caddix's problem, namely with the pain he was suffering after that point. You guys, this has been kind of shown already, where Caddix had a life-threatening injury that happened, and Lyra was instrumental in bringing him back to life for that. So they developed a relationship over the course of about a decade, and after that, she was instrumental in developing the drug he now uses on a regular basis to put the pain aside.
So did he deal with that pain for the whole decade before you discovered the cure? Or the reduction of it, or however you want to say it?
Yes.
Jeez.
Yeah. So this is also where he learned his medical aspects of his character. Where Lyra and her mother's particularly, were kind of like tribal healers type of idea.
Shaman herbalist kind of thing?
Yeah, like a herbalist, basically. Okay. Like I was thinking like medieval herbalist type of idea, or like a naturopath nowadays, where she had a ton of knowledge that she wanted to pass on to somebody, and well, guess what? Caddix is a natural-born healer, basically.
Hold on to these crystals, Sonny. They'll make you feel better.
It's crazy how people
just put magnets. This in one natural.
My crystals.
Yeah. So after the decade, Lyra ended up leaving to discover something on how to fix Caddix's problem. And she is the one that developed the drug that he now uses on a regular basis, and that's been going on for the past decade.
What happened to the mother? Or do you want to say that in case someone
else
asks?
No, it doesn't matter. Okay. No. Basically, what ended up happening is Lyra was the first one to leave the planet that Caddix was abandoned on, and was found by the mother and Lyra.
Yes.
I actually have a name for her, but I don't remember.
Bob.
Sure. Yes.
I'm pretty sure you wrote it in the message.
Yeah, I did.
Me.
I just can't remember.
We can
retrieve
it at some other time.
So Lyra was the first one to leave. She was madly in love with Caddix to the point where she needed to subside the pain that he's suffering. So she left without notice, and then it was...
To help him,
yeah. But again, when you leave without saying anything, it still hurts.
It's like,
right?
Wait, why did she hate me? And it's like, no.
Exactly. So then Caddix and Lyra's mother were left. About 6 months later, or about a year,
so
I think it was, one of the two, Lyra finally came back with this miracle cure, showed it to Caddix, and basically as soon as she got there, she also left. Now, again, Caddix and the mother were still there, but then Caddix now had a taste of this drug, and once it ran out, the problem was that the pain he suffered was worse than the initial pain that he had from the injury. Kind of withdrawal mixed with the pain mixed with something...
Knowing that it could get better?
And a few glorious months without pain for once.
And also something else he wasn't really too sure about either at the time. He still really doesn't know to this day.
Was he mad at Lyra? Like,
no.
He hadn't seen her for a year.
But right? he can never be mad at her.
In this galaxy, that probably happens a lot more than you think.
So no sooner did the supply run out than Kadex also left to go find Lyra again, yeah. And that's the last we know of Lyra's mother.
Okay.
Whether she's alive or dead, who's to say? I don't know.
Okay.
Right?
Alright.
Haven't checked.
She came back to a sister.
The last one that I would say is important to Kadex, ironically, is Bear. Obviously, this is the companion.
Man, I forget Bear is here all the time.
Not terribly surprising.
I bring the stuffed animal here every single time. I purposely forget.
Bear is not important to QB, so it does not pertain to me.
Yep. The reason I picked Bear is because Bear is Kadex's son.
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Physical son, or like...
Yeah, physical son.
How?
Yeah.
How?
What?
Yeah. Surprise, how, listeners!
How?
That's not how biology...
I already knew that. That's why I'm not going, what?
Kirk? Yes. Sorry, what the fuck?
Wait, isn't Lyra
going to have to expand on this?
The explanation of this...
Yeah, you definitely will.
...will be answered by another question Nathaniel will ask. So...
All right.
But the reason I picked Bear... was because
he's your physical son.
Yeah, that's good enough for
exactly. But also having that sense of I now have a kid has been extraordinary to Kadex because it was kind of his first. Lyra was his first inkling of maybe dropping dice on the floor is something that happens.
That's right.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah. That's what the kids are calling it nowadays.
I dropped dice with your dad all the time. Kiddo.
Getting those crits all the time.
Oh, Kurt, baby. You gave me a nat 20 last night.
Roll initiative. Kirk, I'm sorry.
Show me that dexterity, baby.
I'm getting there. Don't worry.
Why does your QB Fox just ask about Bear?
My brain is full of fuck.
Brains full of fuck?
Like, yeah, wow.
Yeah, we were just talking about...
This is a table full of dudes. Drop it.
Yeah, no sausage party today, thank you
very
much.
We were talking about dropping the dice in his defense.
Oh, Chris just dropped a die.
Whenever you mention it, somebody loses a die.
It's getting so hot and bothered.
So, with Lyra, that was Kadex's first inkling of maybe I could love somebody again. Bear... when he came around, was the first inkling of maybe I can have a family again. And partly that's why he kind of chases after Lyra all the time. Is because guess who the mother is?
Is this why Bear is like pseudo like sapien?
But why doesn't Bear talk?
This is why he's so tiny.
No, but like he like paps at things, like does like stuff that a cat shouldn't do.
Clearly understand.
What the actual fuck?
Like I said, it'll be explained in another question Nathan is about to answer.
My brain hurts.
Well, I'm just waiting for you to conclude this one. I don't want to rush you, so I want to rush you a little bit.
Yeah. So that's why Bear is important because he is number one his direct descendant, and number two. It's his first start to a family.
His first taste of a new family.
Now, granted, if you'll let me, Nathan, the people who caused this whole accident are also important, but for negative reasons, because they're the one that basically wrecked his life, and he would want revenge.
Terrible vengeance.
For that to happen, but...
Well, good, maybe you want to say that in case, A, someone asks you, or Kadex has a chance to talk about it in session.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's the three people, I think, yeah.
Okay. Question number three.
Yes.
Why Mole Primus?
There we go. Now you'll get the answer.
I hate this.
Why Kadex was on Mole Primus, number one is because, like you guys were experiencing with him doing this, he left you guys. Kadox left you guys. He had done this a plethora of times before. And Mole Primus was no less an example of this. He had left his previous crew to go to Mole Primus to meet Lyra. And the reason he was there for so long, normally Kadox turnaround time is about a couple weeks. He goes from one crew to the next, takes what he feels is rightfully his from the previous one, moves on so people don't go hunting after him for things, and finds another crew within a couple weeks after his encounter with Lyra. The reason he was on Mole Primus for so long, and Nathaniel was mentioning at the first session here that you had to have at least been on Mole Primus for about a year at this point, was because of Bear.
Preschool.
Lyra left after a few months of time on Mole Primus, and Kadox was left with this newborn kid to take care and raise.
I'm not understanding how the
so you found her. Works. You found her on Mole Primus.
I'm not made understanding.
Made love and then made bear.
I'm not understanding how the physiology works because Sar kids are just kids.
Well, they were slimy. Heavy carapace.
Well, no, what I don't understand is why isn't Bear talking? Okay.
Why is he not a Sardacnor? Well, Bear at this point would be equivalent of a 2-year-old.
But what? So he's a 2-year-old Hakan.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I
get it.
Stuffed animal's a cat doesn't mean that Bear is a cat.
No, I've imagined
that's why he's been down on all fours, but he's able to do things like push doors.
He has a 2-year-old Hakan.
I thought he was just being ridiculous.
Partially, yes.
I can make Bear into something.
None of us.
I assumed
because
I just.
Because he didn't give a shit.
Yeah, I assumed he just never.
If I see the equivalent of a toddler sized cat, like, in, like, let's say baby clothes, hobble over to me and, like, try to pat me on the face.
Cat infants don't wear clothing. They don't wear clothing until they reach the age of adulthood.
And usually it's robes. So that
it's a mark of manhood, or it's a rite of passage into adulthood.
Cats are not humans, and they don't have the same feel of covering up indecency.
So they got lots of fur.
So does Bear look more like just a big cat, or does he look like an infant?
He's a 2-year-old Hakan.
He looks like a big cat. So does Kadox.
No, like
okay, he's so
50 or like you know, like a serval or whatever they're called, like the big cats. Like, they're just big
Richard,
cats.
I've got a great, great, great way to explain this to you. So, you know humans and adults. You know babies? So...
No, I get it!
Kadox is like you.
I think maybe,
Bear is a toddler.
I think it's, maybe Richard is asking, and I'm curious about this too, is Bear normally bipedal, or is he normally quadrupedal? Because it's pretty clear that Kadox is usually bipedal.
Yes. Bear's learning how.
Okay, so there's just a much longer crawling period for...
I mean, it's probably tiring for him.
That's what I'm saying. Is his skeletal structure, like, making him be on all fours and doing this kind of thing? Or does that change over time as they get older?
Well,
like,
I'm understanding. I had assumed at this point he was still crawling like a human infant would.
Like a cat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep in mind, a lot of times when I've described Bear being with Kadox, he's usually on Kadox's shoulder.
Yep. Yeah.
Something like that, right? He gives him piggyback rides and all that jazz.
They cling to the fur of the parent. So
it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, in retrospect, it does, but like...
A little xenobiology lesson here.
I like you're taking liberties with this idea, but like, holy crap, Kirk, that hurt my brain for a second trying to figure this out.
It hurt your brain that he talked about a fictional alien species?
Look! I was like trying to come up with a bunch of things on like how a regular cat was like a cat man. And I was like, what?
It's not, but the Hakan are not regular cats.
Richard, realize this.
It's fiction, so you You don't have pictures.
A glowing suit of armor
this
melting
isn't...
the skin off your
no,
hand.
I get
just
that.
Bother you so
this
much.
Looks but, nothing but, like okay, Bear, look, by
I,
the
I
way.
Get, I get what Richard is saying.
No, I'm thinking, when Sara babies, they mature very fast and they're just bipedal as it is. That's how I imagined
that's
it.
That's because Sara lived to about 80, 90 years. The Hakan lived over 200.
I thought it was 50 weed hit on.
Oh, yeah, it's like 50, 60. Yeah, the Hakan can live over 200 years. So their maturity rate is much slower.
I never imagined Sara running around like a dog does is the thing, which is why this is so, like,
well,
unbelievable for me.
Depending on how long the campaign runs, you might see him do more stuff.
Well, now I can expect that because this is just a weird man.
Maybe one day I'll come in and see on the table a nice new character sheet with the name Bear on it. I don't know.
And Nathaniel implies probably not.
Now, Rich is going to spend the rest of this session going, can you say QB, Bear? Can you say QB?
That's right.
Maybe Lou didn't save you.
So Cat-X. Basically...
I love those rap folks. So the thing I find most weird about it is a grown man is taking his child into death-defying situations. That's what I
was he with you when you were slapping babies?
He's either that or space daycare.
Yeah. And, oh, everyone knows space daycare.
Okay. So to put this in perspective,
exactly.
Just number one, Cadix wasn't expecting a kid. Number two, he doesn't know how to raise a kid nor be a parent.
He's your first kid, so...
Exactly, so he just takes him around everywhere and hopes he learns something.
And does drugs, and, you know,
okay, so
I think. Yeah.
What was the other reason you were on Mole Prime?
I think it makes sense.
That was it.
Find yourself a kill droid and stand behind it.
Yeah, so Mole Primus was our usual one-year meetup. And it lasted longer than usual because...
You had to raise a baby.
Guess what? Cadix, I'm pregnant.
Mole Primus seemed kind of made sense.
Then how long does the gestation period happen for a baby? It's not going to be 9 months.
How?
Sorry.
We had sex. Oh, yeah.
I have four more questions to get through.
Go do it.
I don't really care what the gestation period is.
Apparently it's a short one.
This is the science of toilet paper.
All right,
let's just
is so long.
Resolve.
Because the gestation period is very short, and so the intelligent brain takes longer to develop.
I like that more. We'll go with that.
Maybe Cadix was there for more than a year. Who's to say?
You.
All right. So what's the end of this?
So then basically, after a while, he figured it's time to find another crew, and that's when he met up with you guys in session one.
What do you say, Bear? You ready? All right, let's do this.
Bear.
Oh no, I can't. Oh, I hope he doesn't speak.
All right.
And last question for me: if Cadix could go back and change one thing about his past, what would it be?
This
kid.
Past being anything from before session one.
This is one question Cadix asks himself every single day.
Should he use rubber?
Why didn't I use rubber?
The one defining moment of Cadix's life, aside from meeting Lyra and having a kid with her and stuff like that, the most defining moment was when he was captaining the South Paw. And basically on a deal gone bad, he was I explain it was he had this contract. He was taken by a old friend of his father's, and long story short, deal gone bad, they stole the stuff, they killed his crew, they stole the ship, took everybody. One by one, as Cadix was watching, his crew was either shot in the head, tortured, or spaced. Cadix was also tortured for information for God knows what, or Kreas knows what, I suppose. And
they're not gods.
Basically, they took him with his ship to this one planet.
Oh God, we just have all the powers of God.
After torturing him, shot him in the head, left him for dead, because, well... who's going to survive a headshot, right? And that's where he met Lyra and her mom. So that moment in his life, if he could change anything, if he could take anything back, it would be to have him take the position of his crew. have him be the one that dies and have his crew be the ones that survive instead of the other way around.
That's some big self-sacrifice.
Mm. No. Or maybe just not ever encounter those guys.
It kind of also ties into the captain going down with the ship.
Yeah.
Is why should the captain be the last one alive when he gets to see his entire crew destroyed, his ship robbed from under his feet, and his entire life crumbled?
Right.
And that's why he abandons his crew every chance he gets.
There might be some other reasons there too, if it were to come up.
That's it for my questions. So I'm going to turn it over to our lovely players. Whoever wants to go first can go first. I really have enjoyed you guys providing context for when the question was asked, so you should do that before you ask the question.
Yes. QB would have done this sometime in the near future, within the next, I guess, couple weeks.
Okay.
Where
did we leave off?
We had finished the gladiator fights. You had made your way back to your ship. You're still on rescue one.
Okay, you're mad at DBZ for taking.
So I guess this would kind of be.
So we're about to travel. This would have been in travel or after a particularly stressful thing, not necessarily say QB's next big obligation event, but something stressful and something just like he didn't have a good day or something bad happened. Maybe he got shot a couple too many times, and he's just like QB's just not having a good day. He's upset. So QB, how often does Kadex go to his bunk? Like you never really say it.
I imagine he probably didn't up until recently, right? I think the captain's chair was his home until he started having with the pain and so on in return.
Yeah, okay. the captain's chair is kind of like his bread and butter. That's where he feels at home, really. But his hobby wise, like if there's nothing to captain, if there's nobody to talk to, stuff like that, when he gets kind of bored with sitting on his ass in an extremely comfy chair, mind you, that was technically made for a giant bug, which makes it even better. He would go back to his bunk area, tend his plants, see how Bear's doing, kind of do the whole playing with the toddler thing where he grabs like the front paws and tries to make him walk and stuff like that.
Maybe not at a time like that, but at least in a moment of
bonsai
quiet
contemplation.
While you're contemplating your bonsai thing, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask quickly. We would know Bear's your kid, right? We would as in
you
character.
Know now.
Well, in character.
I'm
not. But out of character, we know.
You probably have
don't know your question.
You probably had suspicion.
I said when we started the question earlier, everything that gets answered.
Okay,
in the question,
I thought it was just
questions,
our questions. Okay.
Even that as my questions now becomes public knowledge in character.
So
okay.
We could have found any of this out.
Sometime,
We could have found this like 6 months ago. We could have found it out yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, we would have found this.
Yeah.
Out.
So like,
and we just
maybe,
have to recontextualize our interactions with these things.
So
maybe
at suspicious,
each of us
but
found out individually.
Yeah, and nobody really bothered to ask. They just like, oh yeah, I guess he's either like some random robot or some slave thing or his kid. Yeah, sure, maybe
QB,
a robot.
QB catches you trying to potty train Bear, and he's like, what the fuck? QB finds you in a quiet moment, and he gives a knock on like the bunk railing or something just to get your attention. He's like, Kadex, I got something to say. And he doesn't really wait for you to respond. He just he just kind of goes into it.
Opens his phone.
It's very unlike.
I wrote it down.
Okay.
QB like leans up against the bed, like not making eye contact, dude, like staring at like the wall across.
Well,
from
Kadex would be kind of attending to his bonsai.
Right, he's like not even like looking at you though. And he says,
you know, one time a person I almost respected more than most asked me, what's your crew to you, QB? And I never really got to say what I meant. And I find recently, you know, a lot of meaningful things and people and all this stuff has been coming back around lately, and people that I thought were dead and ghosts of my past and betrayers and deserters, and then you look at me and what I've done and who I am and what I've left behind, and you know, if you look at all that stuff and contextualize it,
Enkibi, like, takes a beat to contextualize it.
It just so happens, more often than not, a lot of those things end up coming back dead. Do you remember how I got here? At all? Do you remember? I had to tell you this story lots of times, at least. You know I like to gab. I told you about my own life, and when I fled my ship, my life was on the line, and I lost everything.
And Kubi turns to you at this point.
But, you know, 5 years later, six, I guess, at this point now, the ship, this crew, it became everything to me. And I wanted you to know, seeing you leave was like watching myself from 6 years ago running away from what was, at the time, my everything. So I wanted to ask you.
And Kubi draws his blaster.
Why do you think I haven't fucking shot you yet?
Out of context.
Just gonna roll intimidation.
Listening to these things back, I've realized how loud that microwave actually is.
Sadly.
The miracle of microwaves. Anyways, yes.
They're wow, so that's a lot to digest for a sec.
I told you I was going to ask you in the car last week and wanted a good answer for it.
I thought you were... You mentioned one thing. It's like, what is your name?
And I threw you off. I was like,
I even have a good one. I have a good name.
Maybe someone will ask you that. But right now, Kubi's holding a gun to your face and asking why he hasn't fucking shot you yet.
Or why Kadix thinks.
And Kubi I'm really hasn't. Interested, actually.
I want to answer soon before he pulls the trigger.
So first, how does Kadix respond? Like, does he just stare blankly into the gun? Does he like cower a little bit? Like, start there before you get into words.
Maybe he doesn't have anything to say.
Maybe.
To be honest, he's not really surprised you pulled the gun on him.
He's probably been waiting for this for a while.
The thing is Kadix really doesn't stop what he's doing. He's still kind of tending to his little plants, kind of. Minding his own business, you know, like you usually see when like somebody draws a gun and they're expecting somebody to be like, whoa, oh my goodness, this is like the complete opposite of that. Similar to first session where Kadix is punched in the face by Zero, he has zero reaction to it. It's just like, yeah, okay, cool, that was a punch, good job. Not to say he wasn't listening though. Oh man. Okay. Give me a sec here. Probably have to like cut a bit of this out. It's dead air.
Kubi's holding a gun to your face, Kadix. You don't have a sec. You got no idea.
Hey! Stop it! Stop!
Stretching your improvisational mind here. He's got a gun to your face.
Kubi, if you're really wanting to pull that trigger, why don't you do it right now?
Okay.
And then Kubi fires a shot into the wall nearby.
And we depressurize?
No, it's thick enough that I'm pretty sure it's fine. It might ricochet around a little bit if we duck recover, but...
Did you hit one of my plants?
Probably. Actually, yeah. If anything, Kubi probably would have shot probably one of your plants that you had been tending to. Like, breaking the pot and, like, spilling everything all over the place. Oh, probably destroying the tree.
Kadix kind of sees this happen in one of his pants get destroyed. No, one of the plants, especially the pot, I guess off of the ricochet, get hit. He just calmly bends down to where the plant is, kind of brushes off a little bit of dirt. In one of the larger pots that he has, he just kind of takes the plant, makes a little bit of space for one of the other ones, and kind of plants this new one in. Kind of, you see this, like, nice, calm and smooth motion. He didn't really react too much to the gunshot. Did that make you feel better? Did that give you any sense of release or relief?
Nothing you've done since you've come back on the ship has made me feel better, except for the fact
that I don't have to lead this crew anymore. It's hard not having somebody to talk. These goddamn screens and all this shit.
And QB lowers his gun.
Like, it is shit to have you in this ship, to see you here every day, and seeing you just fucking leave like everybody did, like I did. But it's better than nothing to get have you back.
Well, I guess if nothing else, well, you've shown that you can shoot a plant real well. But if nothing else, I guess I need to kind of come clean with you. I do remember those stories you've told. Obviously, you've told a lot of stories, but most importantly, how you had to leave the crew of the Lazy Dog, and more recently, take out the one that you saw as your father. To be honest, it may have not looked like it, but that really hurt to see that happen to you, to see that you had to go through that. And yes, you were very vocal about it, obviously, but there was part of me that hurt for you and understood the pain of losing somebody like that. If you're more directly asking why I left, I guess that is why you're asking, and why you shot one of my plants, is primarily because up until you even asked this question, I was never sure as to what would happen first, you guys abandon me, or me abandon you. Needless to say, this has happened before, and continues taking care of the plants, kind of making sure the new one has enough space to grow and whatnot. He hasn't really looked up at you. He's just kind of attending to his own thing as he's kind of talking. The crews I've had before, you probably have known, I've probably mentioned at some point, that I've had a lot of crews. I've had a lot of experience as a captain. Usually the turnaround I have is a year, give or take. That's usually when I make my decision as to whether to leave or not. What you don't know is more often than not, I'm the one that's abandoned. I'm the one that's left behind by this crew. And that experience has told me to do the leaving first. Does that satisfy what you were looking for?
So you weren't even gonna come back anyway. After all this shit, even after all this stuff now, everything we've gone through recently and whatever we're gonna go through in the future, would you have wanted at all, regardless of how fucked up your brain is, to come back?
Nobody's ever wanted me back. Nobody's ever come searching for me, whether it's for their damn fighter or for the fact that they need somebody to blame for all the shit that hits the fan. Nobody's ever done that. Is if they're the one that abandoned me, then why do I need to go back to them? It seems like I would be having to suck up my ego to come running with my tail between my legs back to them. If I leave them, then I leave in such a way that they don't come hunting me or searching for me anyways.
And yet fate conspired that you needed to come back anyway.
You kind of dragged me back.
Tomato, tomato.
Who the hell says tomato?
Fuck if I know. That's not what I was looking for, but I hate your face, but it's good to have you back a little bit.
And QB leaves.
Nice.
like 7 questions. Oh, yeah. That was very cool.
Nice little interaction between them.
That was great.
Wait for the clock.
Kind of long overdue, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Very nice. That's a tough act to follow, but once the chimes are done, whoever wants to jump in next.
Ouch. And next person to fall before QB.
I'm going to say Hugo, because mine's going to happen in this. What's about to happen.
Well,
yeah. I think it fits.
Yeah, I find that a lot of the stuff that QB, or yeah, everybody's QB, that Cadix is kind of answering or going through right now is going to be happening fairly shortly as well. Like,
yes.
Within, like obviously that would probably take place maybe like a week into our travels. Stuff like that.
Yeah, it makes good sense because you're finally open to us. We know who you are and we know something of your past.
Yes.
So this is when we're going to be able to ask you some questions.
More than we ever have.
Even if this fight answers some of those questions, Kibi would have wanted to hear it for himself.
Sorry.
Part of my question.
Sorry, so Bob, what you're saying is you want your question to kind of...
It's going
to
be within the first 5 minutes of the session.
Okay, so then we'll do 0 and then we'll open the... Do you want me to... I'll recap then before you do
It'll be obvious when,
okay.
when I...
Yeah, maybe just be like, okay, this is the question I'm asking, just so I can kind of know. if you're going to be dumping off...
It'll be obvious.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well then, that's fine.
All right, the context for Zero's question is when we're taking the journey to the Lazex Minenet at Perimeter for the second time. After
when Bug kind of went boop, 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 and we just went there.
Or was that?
Yeah. So this would kind of be after I started sort of talking to you guys again.
Yeah, after you sort of started talking to us again, but it was clear that you were hitting the drug much harder than you had previously.
Literally 2 weeks ago.
And we knew details about your past in terms of how much pain you were in regularly, the things that you had undergone, the fact that you had left us, and how you felt about being dragged back.
But before the surgery. Okay.
So the physical context is that Cadix could be anywhere in the ship, and Zero sort of corners him.
At the urinal!
We don't have a urinal, it's just a hole.
except at the exhaust port.
Into
the hyperdrive.
That's how we fuel our engine, guys.
Yeah, clearly, it's a Mr. Fusion.
That is futuristic, okay?
It's like Zero, you gotta pee into the hyperdrive in order for it to...
One poop and I have fuel for days.
Sorry, I can't contribute.
Anyways, Zero says. Not the urinal. Go ahead.
He's not sorry. Anyways. Statement. Cadix, I see that you are hitting the drug a little harder than usual. Is your pain affecting you badly? Statement. I'll take that as a yes.
Great quest.
Query.
Cadix really doesn't know how to answer that one. It's like, what do you mean hitting the drug harder? It's like...
Query. Given that you are obviously in serious pain and have been suffering for some time, would you like me to end your life? To further that question, what do you think the point of your life is? What have you accomplished? And what are you hoping to accomplish?
Holy shit.
Funny story, Zero. Obviously, at this point, Cadix is cognizant enough to keep up good conversation rather than being a decrepit person.
The triple drug, right?
So. Yeah.
Thanks, QB.
Yeah. It is actually thanks to QB that's worked. Funny story, Zero. You're actually the first one to offer that way out. I've thought about it a lot that what do I have to live for? What am I really here for? For the most part, it's just jumping from crew to crew, star to star, going from one encounter to the next, just keeping up with my drugs. Just because the life I consider life was ended over 2 decades ago. And yeah, I've seen a lot of shit, but ironically enough, it's kind of strange that a droid such as yourself, without any sentience, or at least any that I can comprehend, also kind of understands the most. So, I don't know, if you think that would bring some sense of peace, then I'm gung-ho for, really. Is I don't really have any real purpose. Like, I don't know why you guys dragged me back here. I don't know why I'm here. I'm just a broken, decrepit person who used to be some semblance of a captain, who used to have a family, who used to have a life, and he thinks for a long moment. And now it's just emptiness. Do you know how that feels?
Zero's eyes are very dim. Statements. More than you think, Katux. More than you might think. And Zero walks away.
Okay. Damn. Nice.
Okay, well,
That was the session, guys.
Holy cow. On a very weepy episode of Twilight Imperium Renegades, everyone insists on making Nathaniel cry. Alright, so you've come back to the ship. The Nor have let you go, and actually you've managed to garner the respect of some of the, like, captain/police guys who monitor the arenas.
Claimed for Perimeter Alliance.
Claimed for the Perimeter Alliance. They kind of gulped that in pretty seriously. And they also told you anytime you want to come back, the doors are always open.
A news report was broadcasted the same day saying that the Bionic Commander was killed in Bloodsport combat.
Oh, that's right, because you faked your death in order to leave.
Oh, boy.
That's right.
Oh, we'll miss the Bionic Commander.
YouTube mourns the loss of the Bionic Commander today.
I didn't want to fake my death.
Porn tube. Who warns the death of the Bionic Commander?
You know, when I first heard of YouTube Red, that's definitely what I
was thinking. I thought it was too. I thought it was like some
deep net. Like, YouTube goes porn.
Google is officially getting into porn? Well, I guess that makes sense.
No.
Lots of analytics to find out there.
Chris, I thought the exact same. I thought YouTube Red was a porn site. I was like, oh, they're just making it official now.
That genuinely would make sense.
So what is YouTube Red?
So it's a paid subscription. Basically, yeah, like, say,
it's a Netflix.
You thought it was porn too, didn't you?
Yeah, it's like
I thought it was too, and I'm like,
it's only original series of YouTube.
Creators from YouTube, say, like, Game Grumps or, like, Quarter Digital make series.
It's the Netflix. Okay.
Or the Pauls.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
And this episode brought to you by YouTube Red as soon as they send us that big bag of money.
Or people like PewDiePie.
Live action!
There are so many better things to call it than YouTube Red.
I know.
Well, YouTube's already red.
It sounds like some deep web thing.
No, well, because it's the red, like, light district, right? That's why your mind goes there.
Don't even YouTube Red. It seems so niche. Like I don't
there's a couple of things.
I don't call like MyTube or something.
Yeah. I'll stick to Netflix, even though I don't have that.
Anyway, so you're approaching the ship probably from different directions because you're coming back from the various arenas.
QB and Bug are already in the ship because Bug had to bring QB into the ship because QB was dead.
Dead in quotation marks.
Yeah. Yes. And Kadok sees Zero walking back with this heaping...
Yeah, well, Zero came to collect Kadok's and they're walking back together.
Bag of money. He tried to open it with a syringe.
Yeah.
You lose a stim pack.
I break a needle. I got like a billion others.
I don't know if this needle broke.
The needle regens.
They can't break because, I mean...
It goes through the burlap just fine, but then Zero starts walking away.
And then it gets sick. Wait. Then I'm like, wait.
Hold on, Zero, I got the syringe in it. Hold on.
Zero, okay, I get it. Give back.
So, the stage is yours, gentlemen.
So, Zero,
I was just about to message you guys. You're coming in already. Also, Zero, don't tell them I'm alive.
Statement.
That's fine.
I think some of those are my credits.
Good statement. Yes, at least some of them.
Good to see you both made it.
Statement. Was it ever really in doubt?
No. How was baby slap in there, Caddix?
Pretty relieving.
Did you win any money? Because we won a lot.
Yeah.
We actually have a lot of credits now, guys.
Statement. My bets were also winners.
Betting on Bug was the best thing I've done with my entire life.
Except for my bets on you, QB.
Look.
We had to improvise, okay?
I'm alive. That's the important thing.
And I think we made the most money out of that option.
Doesn't look like he agrees, but it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I made a few credits.
Nice.
Do you plan on giving me my share back?
Statement. Your share.
Well,
it's all pooled together.
Share?
Just as we did once before, is it not? And Zero pulls the bag off and tosses it down into the middle of the group, the credits scattering out.
I am kind of curious.
That's happening, QB goes over to the door and hits the thing. Like,
to close it?
To close it.
Yeah. That's... Holy shit, that's a lot of credits. We better not have them out there. No, how many we got?
We could probably buy, like, another ship with these credits.
I think we're back to what we had before Primor closed our accounts.
Statement. Excellent. We're in good financial standing again, then.
We're definitely doing well.
Caddix goes and sits on the pile of credits.
What?
What are you doing?
Query, we have seats. What's the matter?
Is it comfier? Like, usually people take baths in money.
You guys are talking about this like these are your credits that you've earned.
They're not our. They're not mine, but they are ours.
Look, I think there's a problem here that Bug can sum up by, well, he pinned me against the wall last time and told me the fighter wasn't just mine, and that's a really important thought. So if I can't have a fighter, I think we all have to have communal credits again. I also don't want to get pinned up against the wall by Bug. It was odd. Don't ask.
Can I? What's intimidation?
Oh, shoot. Rolling things against other players kind of sucks.
Yeah. Anyways, while Bug is looking at you like wondering whether or not he can swing his dick in your direction again. Zero turns.
Mine or his?
Everyone.
It's big enough.
Zero turns to Caddix. Statement. And to be perfectly honest with you, Caddix, I do not entirely trust you right now. I am afraid you might spend it on hookers and blow.
You
metaphorically
did?
Speaking.
That, I mean, I didn't spend money, so I'm clean.
Statement.
You share. Do a share of the distinction of being the only one of us arrested by the secret police, though.
Yeah. So why do you think they're your credits and not ours as a crew?
Okay, well, let me just put this very succinctly. He's still sitting on all the credits.
Right, gestured at everyone.
I had a very distinct amount of credits. I had, before going in and placing bets on the winners, who I just so happened to guess as the right ones.
Gee, I wonder how you could have known that. It's us! Who do you think was going to win?
Based on my calculations as to what I had, what the odds were, and what I should be getting... 720,000 of those credits.
Holy shit.
Should be mine.
You're welcome for winning those credits.
Statement. We won those credits.
No. See, you don't understand how betting works.
No, I don't think you understand how this crew works.
Betting works where the person who places the bet is the one who wins the money. The person who wins that thing that they're being bet on does not get to claim the money as their own.
All right, drop this shit. Why with the tough act? Why are you going against your crew and battling your crew? And we've been trying to help you and be here for you, but you're so self-sustained and self-righteous and you won't open up to the people you've been traveling with and we've been helping you and you've been helping us.
But when we're asking for your help, you're denying us and pushing us aside, and you never show your emotions. We hardly know anything about you. Why do you do this to us?
Holy shit.
So that was the question.
Was it really? Wow, I didn't know.
Yeah, I was still waiting for it.
I got it. I was writing it down.
Oh, you write them.
Yeah, I got it.
You just summarized it.
Cuba just goes, holy shit.
I'm standing over top of him.
Yeah.
Are you like standing right in front of me?
You are sitting on top of the credits, and I am.
Yeah, and Cuba stepped forward and he said,
if I lean anymore, I will fall on top of you.
Oh, you're going in for a kiss. All right.
No, slapping my dick.
It's long enough.
We've established how large it is.
Brings a new meaning to bitch slap.
Yes. So back to the movie.
Has to figure out which pet leg it's going down in the morning.
So
that's what Kibi said.
So why?
Kadex kind of shoves a lot of the credits aside to kind of stand up, not like bash you in the face again, but kind of take a step back and
you'll be
not
like
not crush any of the chips.
Standing up. Well, I'm assuming they're fairly robust.
Well, when you stand up, you'll be at my face. Like, I will be
right there. He's just trying to push them back so that he can stand up without hitting you as he stands up.
Or headbutting you in the face and then this conversation.
You'd have to work at it.
Zero.
So, what you just said, you said you've been helping me. You're this crew. I'm part of this crew. Yet ever since I've been back here, I've been here against my will. You dragged my ass back here. You left me nothing from back there where I was. You brought me back because of your fucking fighter, because apparently I'm good at talking to people, and apparently you need a captain. Oh,
you
big deal.
Are the... I turn around. You are the captain of this ship. This is your ship to captain. It doesn't mean it is your ship to own. You are the captain of this crew. You can't just abandon your crew and expect no consequences and expect full trust back when originally we had full trust in you.
And even if we didn't fucking trust you, we still went to goddamn perimeter. We got your brain fucking fixed. So I think if whatever payment's gonna be in there, you haven't even said thank you for getting you off your ass out of that hotel room and saved your fucking life.
And if you wanna buy something, that is fine. We're not stopping you, but it is not your money. To take ownership of something is so ridiculous when it's being given to you by us generously, and just like it is for everyone else. It is equal, and the ship is equal, but it's not ours in itself. Unless something happens to us and we have to go somewhere, we'll help someone out, but you can't just take from something that it is a collective.
Zero waits for a break in the tirade, and then he turns to Gattix's statement. On the other hand, free will is important. If you do wish to leave, you may do so, and you may have your portion of the credits. We will even be sure to provide you with drop-off at any place you would like. However, I would suggest that your life would be emptier as a result.
But
it should be your decision to make. It's true.
Sorry. And you say we've been keeping you here and not giving you anything, and I pull out the note that has Lyra's thing on it, and I go to rip it, and I say, you see this? You remember this, right? And
I grab you by the throat.
No, because I've stepped back.
Yeah, so he runs.
He can lunge.
Runs
by the
throat. And I have faster initiative than you.
Okay, fine. And then I say, I put it in your face. I say, yeah, I wouldn't. And I slam it on the glass, and then I want to push him.
Okay.
QB has his gun drawn. He's just kind of like raised in the air, like ready to act.
waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, so I push him off me, and then I wait a couple seconds, and I point at the note, and I say, yeah, I wouldn't. Because I'm better than that, Captain. And I give a very deep, sarcastic bow. And then I hit the panel of the ship, and I turn to QB, and I say, I'll be back soon. I just... This is too much, and he is way over his head and needs to stop being a child. If you're not here, well, it says a lot about what he is and who he is. Then I walk out.
G-
Keep and now I'm just comes kind of... on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now I'm
eating
just...
by the Noor. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice. They're still rioting.
Yeah.
The babies are wanted to eat a champion.
They probably still like you because you did well.
Yeah. They're like, winner. So yeah, I'm outside doing whatever.
Get some fresh air, isn't there? Okay.
But I'm like not just outside the ship. Like I'm. You see me like going around.
Okay, you decked it. Yeah, I gotcha.
What he says, but double.
And QB walks in, walks away.
Good job,
but
Captain.
Captain
Double.
Why give a speech when you could just double someone else's?
Like, QB doesn't want to have any part of this, though. Like, he's just like, this is out of my league right now. Bye.
So, but you agree. You're insinuating you agree.
Absolutely, yeah.
So the two of them walk out, and Zero heads over to the ramp, hits the button, and then leans against the ramp once it comes back up.
Oh, I can't walk out because I'm dead. I walked away somewhere else.
Just walked away somewhere else.
I'm in the fight.
As you were walking out, he hits the ramp, and you're like,
you seal it. It's like, I'm out.
I'm just chilling, like, sitting in the fight. I got my feet up.
Right. At least it's quiet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So Zero goes over the ramp and seals it again, and then sort of leans back against it, his arms crossed.
So we've already had that conversation, yeah?
Yeah, we had it just before you went to Perimeter.
Hmm.
Statement. My offer is still open.
Katus kind of, like, does, like, the whole, like, brush-off motion. Like, standard dirt, but there's really nothing there. Kind of, like, brushes you away and then goes to sit down in the captain's chair, just because that's what he's used to, that's what he knows. Even if he doesn't really feel like he really belongs there anymore, that's what he's used to. And after a few minutes, he kind of leans onto his comm device. Obviously, you're out of the ship, you're in your fighter. You could probably still hear me in earshot. That hotel you dragged me out of, that place, that was supposed to be my grave. That was supposed to be my tombstone. The shit I was doing back there, I had nothing left. You saw I had a map of whoever you thought it might be. I've lost that person. I don't know where she is. I don't know where to find her. And at that point, I had just given up. I left the crew, you guys, who I thought maybe, just maybe, there might be a chance that you could be something more than just assholes that I'm working with for a year. But I really couldn't take that chance. I couldn't find out for sure. And then you came back. And then you brought me back. And I don't even know what I'm doing here anymore. You want a captain, but that captain's dead. He was dead the moment he left you guys. So, I guess what you do isn't up to you, but I don't know. And calm goes silent.
Zero, who's still standing in the ship and within earshot of you, approaches slowly, his metal feet tinking against the metal floor of the ship.
I could probably tell you're coming up.
Mm-hmm. Statement. The emotional response of the crew is not shared by me, so I cannot speak exactly to their intentions. However, I believe that their actions speak louder than their words, in that they're willing to give you a second chance, if you wish to take it.
Well, good luck having to try to earn our respect back. And then I get off that channel.
And I message QB, and then I say, do you want anything to eat? They probably have some good stuff around here.
Leftovers.
Oh no.
I'm willing to try some Nord delicacies if you are.
Sirloin. Of what?
As long as it doesn't look like it's made of one of us.
What am I? So I go to this little. Do they have a little shop center? Little.
Yeah, but Nora don't kill their food before they eat it.
Solid. So there's no food whatsoever.
No, there's food. Oh, there's just food. Alive.
Yeah, they just don't eat it.
That's how it's best served.
Okay. Yeah. Am I able to make a negotiation with the guy to bring back some death food? So he can cook with it? That would be my intention.
That's not how culture works for these guys, okay. I assume.
Yeah, it's just, there's no negotiation. They don't understand the idea of you wanting to kill the food.
I'm looking around. What do you guys have? English.
Common.
They look at each other and they stare. They indicate down at the little tentacles that replace their mouth. You get the idea that might be some insensitive prick.
I didn't mean to overstep my boundaries. I want to give you money to get some delicacies.
And he pulls out this writhing like larval thing. It's about the size of like a watermelon, but it's like bright pink. And like it's moving, it has eyes all over, and it's like making this like screechy sound. That's like squirming.
I calm you. It's the thought that counts. I take it from him. And I, how much is it?
Well, that's like 5 credits.
Okay, I give him 5 credits.
Okay.
I take it.
Yeah.
I go, probably like half an hour later, go back to the ship. I'm like, I'm so disgusted.
Making, like screeching noise.
Okay, when I get to the ship, I throw it on the ground. I step on it. And I kill it.
Okay.
And I bring it inside.
Okay.
Oh.
And gross.
Blue ichor is all over the place as you crush it. Okay. Yeah.
I made sure to not get any on me.
Okay.
Because I would expect there would be blood flowing. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm going
to
casually step on this.
Yeah.
I scrape my boots off on the outside.
Yeah.
And I
And now it's roadkill.
And before I open the door, I say, food's here.
QB rounds the corner. He's like,
I found some snacks, and I thought, what the fuck is that?
Like I said, I'm willing to try if you're willing to cook.
Statement.
QB drops his
scone. It's a local delicacy.
Yes.
QB drops his bag of the equivalent of shrimp chips and just like stares at it.
I put it out to you. Are you up for the task?
QB gets like a gleam in his eye.
I don't know what the fuck this thing is. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'm going to do something.
Let's go. I smack him on the back. I'll be your assistant. And I pick up his shrimp chips and start eating them.
Okay, QB takes it to where he does cooking, and I'm going to roll the cook.
Roll the cook.
I'm going to roll cook.
What on earth?
All right, survival?
Cutting?
Time to have a fillet
of survival.
Survival, yeah.
Can this be cool because I'm helping?
Yeah, you could cool it. It depends. Are you an actual assistant? Or are you like the assistant, like in construction zones where you stand on the whole?
No, we're.
Looks good.
No, I genuinely wanted to do this with QB.
Okay.
Hey, you want a break for lunch in 5 minutes? Oh, cool.
That's 3 success, 2 advantage, and then he got
2 success, 1 advantage.
So 5 success, 4 advantage.
I cannot find any.
No,
we just happened to find the one recipe in the book.
Wow.
5 success, 3 advantage.
New recipe?
Amazing.
Scroll. Okay, I got 1 thread.
Okay, 5 success, 3 advantage.
So we make a delicious
scroom. What?
Scroom.
Filet de scroom.
Is it a soup? Is it a...
It's a soup.
Okay.
Oh, yeah! Because we knew DVC would like it.
It's a stew. It's got chunks.
Yeah. We knew you would love it. Shut up. DBZ's going to eat this all up. Well, it's going to power him
well,
up.
Well, he's going to absorb all the hydrogen from the
All right. Science.
QB dishes it out, makes a bowl for Caddix.
It's delicious as far as Scroom could ever be.
So
it's the best Scroom you've ever tasted.
It tastes a lot like chicken.
Yeah, actually it does.
Okay.
Nice.
It's really chewy. Like, the meat's kind of chewy. But it's nice in a stew because it's kind of scent.
I think we nailed it, and I go out to give QB a fist bump.
Yeah. Every so often, an eye floats up, and you kind of take that out. Or maybe you dig that kind of thing.
No, QB takes it out.
We're used to it.
I eat the eyes,
But the meat,
we all know that.
The meat. Well, the eyes are nice and soft. But the meat itself is kind of chewy, so it's a little bit like... It's kind of like chicken, but chicken that's been cooked a little too long.
Like overcooked calamari kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of like that, like chewy squid
or something. Is it like tofu?
I imagine...
I don't know, I've never had tofu.
Yes,
I imagine...
But calamari is a good equivalent.
Okay, extra firm tofu is still less chewy than calamari.
Okay,
it's
more like calamari.
It's like eating a rubber tire at the table with QB.
But it's okay in a stew, because you can kind of sense to swallow it.
Hey, man. We made a sick, bomb-ass stew.
And it's...
There's only one L in
Statement. You're lucky they didn't try to give you something else. It would have been incompatible with you. Your biology would have revolted.
Well.
In a revolting way.
I guess I knew what I was asking for.
Zero looks away for a moment. Or they were very considerate vendors.
Well, I didn't roll for Core Worlds, but if I did, I probably would have known.
Statement. That is totally in character. And it's not at all great for
my intellect is six, so...
It's a good thing that my brawn is six, because I now must put this fourth wall back up.
It's encumbered
good
seven.
Good job with that wall.
Xbox description, he crushes the fourth wall.
Does Caddix try any of the soup?
Did you bring Caddix the soup?
He ladled it out. And
are
if
you
you're
still
sitting,
on the chair?
Of course.
I was going to say, if you're sitting in your chair, he just kind of places it on one of the armrests and then goes back to the table with Bug. But
yeah. Oh, okay.
Because I'm eating at the table.
Yeah. So if you were to kind of look back, see if he's like, is he eating the soup?
I wouldn't.
It doesn't really move at all for the first bit, and then.
Well, that's because I cooked it right.
Yeah, so, but then, like, if you were to look back, like, a third or fourth time, you'd probably see him, like, grab the soup and just, like, hear, like, a...
Nice. Like, that guy. Okay.
It's blatant.
I'm glad we've established that.
So, now that happened, where are we going? What's our plan? And anybody have any ideas?
Before we move further on, I want to...
Oh, sure.
With X, I've been, over the past, bit, I've been making him smaller. Like, I've been taking out any extra, extraneous parts.
Okay.
Where I'm like, oh, he doesn't need that, so I'm trying to make him, you know, like a... Like bear size.
bear would probably be bigger than this at this point.
Well, yeah. I would be making him this size. Like
So just for people guessing it, the height of a Dr. Pepper bottle or a
standard 391 or 591 milliliter bottle.
Yeah.
Size of stuff.
Or you all know how big that is.
The height of this microphone?
Yeah. Definitely a little bulkier, a little wider.
A Perrier.
Not wider than taller, but
yeah, so
he's got some width to him.
Standard teddy bear size.
You're looking at a ruler's length.
Yes.
So are you guys still eating your soup?
So
yeah. I guess as we're eating soup, we're talking about what's next and where we're going next.
Yeah.
Which is why QB said that.
Yeah, you see Caddix get up from the chair, come over and sit down.
Before you even sit down. As I hear you walking up. I stop using my spoon, I slurp up the soup. Not like it's obvious, but I slurp up the soup, put it down and say, oh man, great job, and I give QB another fist bump. We should definitely cook with these delicacies more often. I get up and I turn and walk the like to my bunk.
Okay, I getcha.
And then I rest on my bed. I don't do any engineering.
As you're walking away, because that takes a little time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Bug, it would be very nice to have you sit back down. I think it's time we had a talk, the four of us.
I bet it would. And then I still go to, I keep walking past them.
Okay.
I stay in an earshot.
You gotta come.
I would assume my yeah, bug is in within
it's
an earshot.
Area. Yeah, okay, got you.
Okay.
Well, if you're gonna have a talk, have a talk. And if you're not gonna have a talk, we gotta figure out what else we're doing for these, mind net.
Statement. My auditory sensors are working.
I'll try and make this quick, just because I don't know. It's been a shitty day. I've been hesitating to ask this just because I really don't know how to, and I also kind of am concerned about the answer I'll get. Obviously, my leaving has broken your trust. All three of you, as he says a bit louder, so Bug can hear. I know that's not going to be easy to get back, but I need to know definitively, why am I back here? You guys got your fighter back. You now got your friggin' money back, even though it was partially mine. You kind of keeping me here. Zero's offered to have me leave, whatever. Do you want me here just for the usefulness that I bring, such as talking to people, which I really haven't had a stellar record of this past year, actually. I've had better years. Is it just for the what I bring to the table? I'm good with talking to people. I'm okay with leading you guys, I suppose. Or is there another reason that you dragged me back from literally death's door for the second time in my life, actually?
QB butts in. I had my thought, I lost it.
The last year may not have been stellar for you, but it's probably the most any of us have seen in any kind of progress, in any kind of way, in the last little while. Speaking for myself, it's been, well, at this point, like 6 years, and a lot of bad stuff has happened to me, but at least I've been moving forward. And, I mean, we kind of tracked your signal after we landed, because we were looking at the job there, but, like, fate brought us together. The destiny of the thing kind of made it as it was. It was more or less, this is how it's happening, and this is how we're going to roll with it. And if I was going to go through this last year with anybody else, I don't think I would have lived this long, so I think that's a little important.
Right after that, Bug, in a mild manner tone, he says, the thing is, you know the answer, but you're maybe too worried, too scared, too unintelligent to understand that we're not like your other crew, and you know that, but you don't want to admit it, and that's something that the captain can't worry about. You're worried about all of these things about your crew leaving you, and let me tell you, you have nothing to worry about for the last time. If we haven't proven ourselves, I don't understand what your issue is, because now you have to prove to us that you can worry about the bigger picture of being a captain and still remember the small picture of your crew and your family.
As soon as Bug is finished, Zero also chimes in.
Yeah.
Statement. We are each of us more than the sum of our parts. They're not merely functional. We are together by choice.
Do you think if I didn't have anywhere else to go that I would not go there? Or, you know what I mean? I'm not a word guy.
You kind of see Bear run up, jump on the table, and like pull on one of Cadix's ears.
Oh. Ow, fuck off.
You little shits.
Smacks him off.
It's the right time.
Oh, you're trying to say something.
You probably expect him to like shove him off the table or something. In contrast, he kind of wraps his arm around Bear and kind of like muffles his hair a little bit on his head. For the past 20 years, guys, I don't know how much detail I've really gotten into with the three of you, but I've had a difficult time accepting people as family. Accepting people as ones that I would take a bullet for. Once upon a time, I did have a family, and they died, and I was left to rot alone by myself. So ever since then, I've been scared, I guess is the word I'm looking for here, to really accept the reality of having a new one. And that's why I left. I left you guys because I was worried that if I got too close with you, I would either be burned or you guys would die. And I didn't want that to happen again. So I move on, move to a new crew, find something else, and continue on this pissing contest of a year that I go on to hunt the one that I love, the one that I couldn't be without any of you guys, and start this all over again. Basically, what Bear is trying to get me to say, and damn it, Bear, that really hurt. Everything I have is yours as long as I know that I'm not a prisoner to you guys. I'm part of your family. If my gut was right before I left and that you guys are truly the beginning of something new that I haven't had in a long time, then things are going to change from here on out. I'm asking for your complete trust in me to make sure that you know I know what's best for us, that I will lead you guys in the right direction, regardless of what it is. Obviously, we're a ragtag crew of whatever the hell this is, and I'm not asking for you to obey my directions without questioning, without thinking, without second-guessing whether I'm right or not. I'm just asking for you to know that the experience I have, I'm willing to give you guys. So how about more of that soup?
QB cracks a small smile, gestures over to the pot, I guess, that the soup is still in.
He says, two things. Three things. One, help yourself. Two, hopefully you're leading us on this right path, because boy do I not trust the mind net. And three, where the fuck are we going next?
Hey, this is Richard, player QB Fox and producer of the Twilight Imperium Renegades podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate every single view, every single download. If you want to start a direct dialogue with us, you can go to twitter.com/QB TRRenegades, or use the hashtag TRRenegades, which we also track, and talk to us. Send us a couple messages, because we want your input. We want to know what's good, what's bad, and we want to know how much you're enjoying the show. We really appreciate these comments, so send them in. This is a original story written by Nathaniel Kiefer and produced, again, by Richard Jealousy. Twilight Imperium Renegades is set in a universe created by Christian T. Peterson for the Twilight Imperium set of board games, produced by Fantasy Flight Games. Twilight Imperium 4th Edition is out on the market. Pick it up. It's an 8-hour long board game, but trust me, it's the best board game we've ever played, and clearly we want to share that with you guys because, well, we made this whole podcast in that universe, so that's pretty cool. Music is produced by Maxo. You can find them at levelmusicmaxo.bandcamp.com. Songs used in this show are Frozen Foot, Vast Space, and Breakneck Subway. The cast of Twilight Imperium Renegades is Nathaniel Kiefer as the GM and every other character that is not our main party, Christopher Kiefer as Divides by Zero, Philip Zivkov as Bug, Kirk Dawson as Captain Caddix, and Richard Jellison as QB